Hello, welcome back to another episode of Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
It's going. Yeah, no baby yet, but we are definitely in the countdown where it's, the due date's the 30th, today's the 22nd. And like I was saying before recording, I like to control everything. And just the idea that there's zero control that I have over this has been really hard on me, of just like stressing me out, because I'm just I'm trying to plan and I'm just like, I don't know what to do and I don't know. So I'm hoping the baby comes soon, but when the baby comes, the baby will come and that's fine. My wife's been doing an awesome job with it. I think it's like the very normal thing where it's like just uncomfortable and like wants to be done with it as well and have the baby and start shifting into that gear of things. But yeah, it's been definitely like mentally an adjustment this last week, really. But other than that, like honestly, like all things are good. At the house, we have everything ready. And at the company, like working on getting processes in place, but it's definitely been a forcing function to just be like, okay, like, yeah, we're not going to do that. Let's not talk about that now. Here's what we're going to focus on. I've just had to do that more. And it's probably a good exercise to do, even if you're not having a baby. Yeah. Like force that down. But how are things on your end?
Good, good. Yeah, I want to talk about like just saying no a lot. Like I want to talk about that because we're going through a similar thing. But yeah, man, things on my end are good. We had our retreat last week. Gosh, 2 weeks ago, because I had to bail on you now. But this is the first time we're talking since we had our retreat. It was amazing. Like literally everything was perfect, right? Awesome. About like the accommodations and schedules and amount of time and work versus fun balance. Like all really great. We did an escape room and we won. Ooh. Like we actually finished it. Amazing. Yeah, we had like two working sessions. One was in a co-working place and the other was in the 51st floor of a skyscraper, which, I mean, we have several people that have never been in a skyscraper, I think. And so to go up the 51st floor, and it was a beautiful day in Chicago and you could see like all over Lake Michigan and downtown. Yeah, really great. And just a lot of good connections and working through stuff. And, you know, Jesse on our team, developers, like been on the job for like 6 weeks. And so for him to be able to make that and everybody meet him and just each other was totally awesome. So really glad we did it. It was not terribly expensive, you know, like all in maybe it was like 10 grand.
Really? How? Yeah. Did you use points or something? I don't know. Like, I just feel like the flights.
I mean, I'm just trying to think. Like, so there was seven people there. So not everybody came, right? So there were seven people there. Average flight was, say, $400, because most of the people that came were from the U.S. And then hotel room, yeah, $250 a night. So yeah, $1,000. I mean, yeah, so $1,200 a person, maybe. Seven people, yeah.
Okay. No, that's pretty good. Seems in my head, right. I just assumed it would be like 20,000-30,000.
Yeah, so not terrible. Like I was pretty surprised. I mean, maybe a little bit more, but like to do once a year, and we haven't done it in for 3 years now because we were COVID canceled. Really glad we did it. And the two things that I'll take away that like other people that might be in similar situations could do without kind of having to learn the hard way is like we spent about 2 hours talking about OKRs one day. And that was like an hour longer than we thought we would. And so what we're going to do is bake in at the end of each quarter, like a 2 hour conference call to talk about OKRs, because it's really cool to be able to like reflect on the past quarter.
And not like OKRs in a meta sense, like talk about your OKRs.
Yeah. Each group talked about their OKRs, reflected on the previous quarter. And then like, hey, you know, okay. Me just saying like, hey, you know, Matt, for you to kick ass, like what needs to happen? And talked really generally about them, took a bunch of notes, and now the teams are going forward and creating their own OKRs. But like having that dedicated time, super important, because before I would just do a bunch of like one-off calls and it's just like more time intensive. So like cool to be able to do that as a group mostly, but like focused discussion, but you know, other group members could chime in and stuff. That was cool. So we'll do that every quarter, I think. 2 hours is a good amount of time, especially if we have some structure around it. And then the other thing is like, probably will do an end of the year, like a 6 month interim, like virtual retreat. So assuming we do a retreat every year, which the next.
Had you done a virtual retreat before, right?
We did one in September. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like already thinking ahead, like next retreat will probably be like Word Camp Europe, which is in Athens next June, which would be amazing. Like, so if we do our next retreat in June, we'll do a virtual retreat around the holidays. So
awesome. Yeah. I mean, I think I know we want to get to the focus stuff, but I've got some thoughts on this because the retreat is one thing I've wanted to do. Have a hard time justifying it if we're not like we're right now. We're slightly profitable, but it's just like, I don't know. It just feels like I know it's going to be a big expense. And so I think like that makes me put it off. But now I'm at the spot where like, I'm not going to be able to go on a retreat for a while. And so like, that's sort of frustrating. Is not the right word. I'm more just like, gosh, I should have prioritized it earlier. But now with the baby coming, like, yeah, like it's not going to be fair. I won't want to. There's a lot of like other things I'll need to be responsible for where I can't just take off for a few nights. And at some point I'll be able to, but was really hoping could do it in the fall this year, but I think that'll be too soon, like early fall. And so maybe we'll try to do like a Super Bowl thing early next year. But yeah, so want to get something done there. It's reassuring to hear that the costs were more manageable, because at the end of the day, like that's not going to at all make or break the company as far as the cost thing goes, but it could make a significant impact just on all the other parts of it. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a one-time expense, right? It's not like adding $10,000 of burn rate.
It's not adding to your burn. It's just, yeah.
One other thing is like, we were very intentional about like, there were five people that attended virtually, right? And so like baking that into how you do it, because you have people like not in the US too, right? And so like the chance of them coming might be bad because like visas are hard to get and stuff. So like making it to where the work stuff is accessible by people on Zoom is, you know, important.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about the visa issue. So that's probably something I should think more about. When it was at Groove, I was there for the first retreat that they did, and it was probably about 20 people. And there was one visa issue, but it was a developer in Russia. And like, it was like, okay, we thought this would be okay, but like, I can understand Russia being kind of nuts with visa stuff. But I hadn't really, I just sort of like wrote that off. I was like, most normal countries are a little bit more normal of the process. But yeah, I should probably look into that, and assuming we can do, because I do want everyone to be there. And so we'll just have to see when that makes sense for all of us. I guess right now, me being the kind of the wild card. But yeah, I mean, it's been like gearing up for all this. I am typically someone who needs a forcing function. I always feel like the self-help advice of set your own deadline and then you're going to make sure you get your things done that time. It's like, no, if it's a deadline I made up, I'm not going to follow it. Like, it needs to be something where like there is nothing I can do. There's not amount of money I can pay. Like, this is an actual deadline. It is not going to change. And for like, those are like kind of rare. Having a baby is absolutely one of those moments. And it's just sort of forced me to get realistic. Okay, like, yeah, I want to start these new initiatives, these on marketing. Let's try to work on this. Let's try to do that. And it's just like, no, like we can't. Like, I don't want to have the project start, me then be on leave and Jordan have no idea what the fuck's going on. And so what it's really been helpful with is getting clear on what matters as I like actually plan practically for my leave. But I think broader than that, it has helped me realize, yeah, a lot of the things I was thinking about just don't matter.
How do you decide that? Like, how do you come to that realization?
So I think like some of the obvious one is like we constantly have potential partners reaching out to us where they're saying, hey, we're starting this new site. We want to have an optimizer and we'd like to talk to a partner with you so we've seen what you've done with other sites. Like, we want to have your optimizer embedded in our site. Or it's someone who already has something going on, but like they don't really have a website. They don't have tools and they want to promote us just as an affiliate. And I almost feel like rude to say, hey, they want to promote us. I shouldn't say no. Like, it just feels wrong to me. I know it's irrational, but like that's how I feel about it. I think for too long, it's, I don't know if it's people pleasing or what, but just like having these conversations without thinking about how much time am I having these conversations. If this works out, what will the actual impact to the business be? And so on the partners, it's just been much more logical about it, where we don't have affiliate software. We had it at one point. I thought we still had it. Doesn't work. I'm not going to have a developer try to troubleshoot it. Like, I'm not going to troubleshoot it. And so like, no, unless you're really big, we're not offering affiliates. Like, we just don't do it. And so I just kind of made that statement. And for partnerships, it's like, okay, what I had been doing better of saying like, these are our minimums. Like, you have to at least be sending us this much in revenue each month. Here's the setup fee. Here's how this works. But at the end of the day, like, I am more, I'm going like further than that, where if you don't understand what makes us different, we're not going to work together. I don't have the bandwidth to educate you on that right now. And I think that's absolutely a shortcoming, but it is what it is. And so if you are just looking for a vendor, we are absolutely not a good fit, even if you're willing to pay our minimums and everything else. And then like the third part is we have this random... So the biggest players in our space are DraftKings Fan. They offer traditional daily fantasy sports. And there's a bunch of knockoffs slash variations that are trying to differentiate themselves and like gain a foothold in that space. He had been an affiliate of one of them. And literally all it was is that we have no tools that we offer to use on their site or anything else. All it was is like, if you, our signup process is a two-step process. First, you create your account, then you put in your credit card to start the trial. If you create your account but don't start the trial, we have email workflow that goes into effect. That first, there's like three emails that try to effectively convince you to put in your credit card. If you don't, we then downsell you like, hey, sign up for this offer and we'll give you a free month. It wasn't wildly effective because it wasn't the person coming to our site cares about these other sites. So like the one I'm thinking about right now is Monkey Knife Fight. It's more of like, you're not building full lineups. You're just saying, you're picking like over-unders on individual players and stats, and you're not really competing against a big field. We could build tools to use on those sites, but we don't have those. And it's like, I don't know, like maybe we thought for a while, like someday we'd build that. But then it was like, okay, this brings us like $1,000 a month. So it's not nothing, but it's not at all meaningful. Then they got bought by Bally's, like a big casino group, changed their invoicing process. And I was like, all right, like I'm just shutting this off. Like it's not worth $1,000 a month for me to try to like navigate all these hoops when already it was a pain in the ass. But other sites that were like them had reached out to us to be affiliates for them. And I spent a lot of time getting on calls with them and talking about it. I was like, oh, no, like, I can see how this would work. But for it to work well, we need to have tools to support it. Otherwise, it's just like not, it's an incongruent pitch. Like it doesn't directly line up. But then I'm like, okay, like, is this more important than the other things that our developers are working on? No. Okay, so let's just like not do this. And I'm, even with my rambling way, I'm still like condensing the back and forth that goes on in my head to get there, because this took way too long for me to come to these conclusions of like, hey, when a new site reaches out, I'm just going to say no, unless they subsidize us heavily. Let's say like, hey, we'll pay this upfront and guarantee this much month to you. I'm not interested. And so those are like there's other decisions like that, but those are the most like straightforward mathematical ones where I can say, okay, best case scenario, it takes us a month to build these tools. Maybe we can get to 15K MRR on those tools. Maybe. Do I care about that? Like, no.
Yeah. Opportunity cost versus other stuff you could do.
Yeah. And it's just like, and then it's just like a completely different customer. It's a completely different product. Even if it's baked in everything else we do, it's just like, no, it's not worth the distraction. So I just try to like dig deep into, okay, like what is the outcome of this? Best case scenario, what is it going to cost to get there? What will that take away from and all that? And just most of them are pretty clear decisions. Like, oh yeah, like this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'll kind of distill down what you said and kind of reframe it how I how I go about it, because we're trying to do a lot of saying no right now too, right? Like we have done a lot of things, have several different products, try to market to several different kinds of customers, right? And really, like one of the things that came out of the retreat was like, we gotta try to do one thing as much as possible, right? And so like the biggest is like time to impact that like we first measure, right? Is like, will this take a month or 12 months or 2 years for us to see some kind of return on this? Like throw like certainty out the window, but just like time in general. What's the most quick to impact thing? Because like, I don't think either of us have so much money that we can just waste a year building a product that we have no idea like what its impact will be. So like if it's quick, then it passes. The certainty of the outcome like is probably next, is like, how likely is this to have a big impact? And then if it's pretty big, pretty sure, then like it's time, because even something that's not a big amount of time has opportunity cost versus developers or marketing people or salespeople doing something else. And like that might be the biggest one, is like certainty versus effort kind of trade-off, because like I think there are so many things that we can do that are big impact and low time still after 5 years of doing this, you know, that we ignore those opportunities because we chase this other thing for whatever reasons, you know. And it's not like people on our team are trying to make bad decisions or I'm trying to make bad decisions. It's just you get like shiny object syndrome sometimes, like you just want to chase this thing for kind of no good reason. But yeah, I mean, I think that like certainty, time first, and then like scale of impact. And like if we try to make those decisions through those lenses, like I feel like we're making better decisions. And it's hard. The hardest thing is like, you know, every time you say no to those opportunities, you feel like you're giving away opportunity. And I think the hardest thing is like convincing yourself, like you're saying, and then convincing everyone else on the team, that's not necessarily true. You're actually gaining opportunity by focusing on this thing and doing like one thing really well, or one thing at a time, even like really well.
Yeah. I'm trying to like, I have thoughts kind of all over the place on this, where it goes back to what you said earlier about involving more people in discussions. And this is something we don't do a ton of. When it comes to priorities for the company, like Ben, Matt, and I make the ultimate decision. But even like going into the quarterly planning calls, like I'm the one that's coming with a much stronger plan. Last quarter, I want to move not fully away from that, because I do think that's one of my unique abilities. But I think if I can give them a heads up, like what I should be doing is saying, okay, I've been thinking about this for months. Here's where I'm at. Give them that. Let them then go think about it for a bit. And then we can come to the meeting. They've had time to think about it, where it's rather than just like, we get in this call, I just dump this new shit on them and like expect them to have really simple things. So we did a better job of that these last couple of weeks. But it's like, I feel like the more people you have involved in a decision, the more people you're going to piss off or disenfranchise, or whatever you want to call it, when you make the say and it's not what they wanted. And there's absolutely a balance. But like where we've tried to strike it is, we will set the overall goals and priorities, and we'll listen. Like if people just strongly disagree, awesome. Like we can adjust. Like it just never happened. But when it comes to like, okay, here are, because I think at the end of the day, the average employee is, as long as like you're not an idiot, And like you are being thoughtful about what you're doing, you are putting the work, you are talking to other people on the leadership team, you should be coming up with good ideas. Maybe it's not the perfect idea, but like it should be good, where people aren't having a strong reaction against it. And then from there, it's like as it trickles down to the individual teams, I think more input should go into, okay, here are the features that will get us here on development, or here are the things we think we need to get done. I have no idea what exactly like the best way of doing that is, or even sometimes even on like back end, what is even realistic to actually build. So then it's like, okay, as a team, you guys figure out what to do there. But it's like involving the team farther down, because you don't want to like ask for feedback. I know I'm not saying you're doing this, but like you don't want to ask for feedback And then just always be like, yeah, we're not going to do that. And so like, I try to be cautious of when I ask for feedback, but I also try to do a better job than I used to of if it's feedback that I just know we're not going to do, I'll say it right then. Of just like, and here's why. And if you have other questions, I'm happy to explain my thinking more. Because a lot of times like people just have ideas, but they're not thinking about it from the full context of the business and everything else. And so when they get where you're, a lot of times it'll maybe it's on the developer side, endless refactoring. It's like, yeah, okay, but like this isn't costing us money. This might be an annoyance to you right now, but like the product's not broken there and we're not building that much more on it there. It's just going to stay like a little shitty under the hood for a while. And that stuff, like it sucks because like I've been there where like this is so annoying every time I have to deal with this. But at the same time, it's like, okay, how much time would it take me to fix it? And what would that actually do? Like, not that much. And so, I don't know, that's sort of one angle that I think about this stuff from. But the other is just, you have the time, the impact, the confidence, all of that. But that is one thing that we have tried to be way more deliberate about in our quarterly planning. Honestly, didn't do it as much this last quarter, but first quarter this year, in Q3, we didn't do it this much because we did that a little early. But in the first quarter, we literally scored everything in the backlog, all the projects, everything using impact, confidence, and effort. And it was helpful for sure because sometimes you'd be almost spending more time debating something than it would actually take to just like do it. It's like, okay, this is just a super quick fix. Rather than spending 2 hours talking about how to do it, Matt could just go and do it. But other times it's like, oh yeah, like this could be cool, but it's going to take like a month. So like, no, we're just not going to do that. And I think that's huge. But what it can lose sight of is how that fits in with everything else that your team is doing. Because you're scoring each thing in a vacuum. And that's when we talk about focus, to try to bring it back to the subject. We talk about focus. That to me is the value, is the more things that are going on in a company, if they're not aligned, even just as a manager, good luck trying to give relevant, actionable feedback. Because like, I'll jump from one call to the next, like, oh shit, like I forgot we were even doing this. Like, okay, like, yeah, okay, let me get back into this mindset. But if you're all doing the same type of thing, you don't have to have as much context switching and everyone kind of sees where it all fits in. And so they're more motivated to it and get like the bigger picture. And so that's really been a lot of it for us, is prioritization matters a ton. But going a step above that and saying, making sure we don't cast too wide of a net matters a lot. And that was where we were going to do a betting product for baseball this season. We had done one for NBA. It wasn't as successful as we had hoped as far as like sales, the product. Like, we made a shit ton of money betting it ourselves. And it was wild that it was as hard to sell it as it was, but it's like, okay, like I spent way too much time trying to sell this thing and it just didn't work. I have ideas on how we can change that, but we were going to just like try to do it again for baseball. It's like, no, I don't have the time. Like, we're just going to postpone this. And people were mad because it, like, we were giving away one pick a day for free. And the goal was to build interest so we could sell more. And those picks had done very well. And people know baseball is what we do really well. And we're looking forward to this product. And we're just like, no, like, this is entirely different than building the app, than DFS and everything else. And right now it's not automated. This is Chris or Ross from support taking at least an hour a day at specific times. It doesn't matter if they're doing higher value things. Like, at a certain time, they've got to drop what they're doing, find the bet, and post it. And like, this is not worth it. So we just shut that off. And that was like a harder decision, but kind of fits into all the other stuff I've been talking about. But I'll just stop talking for now.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's all valuable. And I think it's interesting to talk through how we're approaching this stuff, and hopefully some of it is like relatable and like abstract enough to where folks can think about it in their own business. But I mean, I would challenge everyone to say, like, there's probably 20% of what you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. And I think we're more like 50% that we're trying to just really focus down on.
Can we get more specific on your end of like what are, and I don't want you to like go into like strategic stuff you're not comfortable talking about, but like what are the things that you plan to say no to? What, like how are you going to focus?
From a focus perspective, right? It's like, and I'll talk marketing just because like that's the place that I'm most involved. From a marketing perspective, like the goal even isn't clear a lot of times. You know, people are like, oh, we need to do marketing. Really, what you want to say is we need to be increasing new trial signups by 10% a month, right? And like, I think even saying that focuses a lot because instantly a bunch of shit that you think is cool just goes out the window.
Awesome. But no, I'm like, even like, it just begs the question, how would what you're proposing actually get us there? And there's a ton of things you can just immediately write off. We're like, no, okay, like, could it? Sure. But like, if I can't connect the line, it's not worth doing right now.
Yeah. So like from a marketing perspective, that's exactly it. It's like, we've gone wayward a bit in doing a bunch of different things. And now basically everything is through the lens of, will this drive new trial signups? And if it won't, then there needs to be a really compelling reason why in some kind of intangible way, brand recognition or backlinks or whatever, it will like ultimately lead to it. And like from a product perspective, kind of the same thing. Like our big goal with the product is like upping average, like our ARPU or average revenue per account, right? Like, will this thing allow people to make money or get more value from our tools so that they'll upgrade in tiers or something like that? And so just like trying to create frameworks, right, for our team members to make these decisions themselves. And then I need to be super disciplined when I come to basically every engagement with a team to not distract them, right, with all the shit that I want to do and just come and refocus basically every time we talk, you know, like, hey, as you're doing this thing, is this going to lead to what like the North Star for you and for your team is? So that's as specific as I can get, I guess.
Do you feel like it's your team's job to make those decisions on their own?
No, right. And like you talking about like, you're, you know, the boss, the manager, and you should come with the decisions. Like, I totally agree. Like, we as kind of leaders of not huge companies without a lot of real senior leadership, like, we should basically come with all the strategy, I think. And like, that's what our...
In the implementation, we're happy to adjust and like get feedback.
Yeah.
But like, the direction, I feel like, you know, isn't...
Yeah. And I definitely erred, I should say, too much in the... I set the vision and you come up with the strategy and the implementation and the tactics and all that kind of stuff. And like, I learned my lesson there because it's just too hard for a lot of people, right? And like, I have the context of all these things together and I probably am the only one who can create the strategy and the tactics to meet the vision that I have. And so I should be the one that sets those. But no, I think it's more like, on a day-to-day basis, as things come up with folks, you know, support going to developers, sales coming to marketing, like, hey, what about this? Like, everyone being able to say no a lot more clearly because like in their own daily interactions with people that are not me, they should be able to like say, hey, is this through the lens of driving trials or increasing average ARPU? You know, is that going to help? I don't expect many folks to like set that vision and strategy, but it's really like to check everyday interactions against.
Will you be doing daily standups with departments?
We don't do daily standups. We do weekly department meetings. And yeah, this is like a big part of that.
This is a decision like I've made recently is daily standups for every department. And the standups probably not even the right term. Because I think just as general, here's what I did yesterday, here's what I'm doing today, here's where I'm blocked, can be done async and just doesn't add a ton of value. I know when I've had to do that on my end as an employee, I was just annoyed by it and just like fill it in. It's like, all right, let me get back to my work. But when it's a check-in with the team to just say like, hey, where are things at on this? And to me, it's like if the concern is day-to-day prioritization, you should probably meet day-to-day. And then like let them ask the questions, like tell them, like see where they're at and then give feedback. And it's going to be easier for you because you're not going to have to try to get everything perfectly spec'd out once a week. Because if you're wrong, the next day you can just be like, oh no, sorry, like this is more what I meant. And so I've just gone that direction because I frankly don't do a great job of getting, I'll have a very clear idea of things in my head and it's, I don't translate it well in however I describe it. And so it's like, okay, like here's where we're trying to go. Let's check in tomorrow for 15 minutes. It doesn't need to be a long thing, but just like, oh, like how to go in there? Like, oh, okay, let me check this out right now. Like, it's not as though I'm preparing for hours for this call. It's like, let's get on it, review what you're working on. I'll give my feedback. If you have questions, I'll answer those. And it just gives like a very quick touch point, which absolutely derails my schedule a bit. But I think that's the trade-off I have to make at this point, is accepting that to keep everyone else aligned. And I've found, I mean, I'm sure, I know I can be difficult. And so I'm sure there are times where people are just like, I just wish Andy would just stop giving me feedback and just like, this is good enough. And I probably should get better with that. But regardless, there aren't the complaints of, I don't know what I should be doing. And I think for the average employee, that is one of the biggest things that they want, is clarity in what they should be working on. And you can either get that through really, really clear delegation and project management and everything else, which is a skill I don't have. I'm working on it. Or just kind of brute forcing it by just literally checking in each day and saying, hey, here's what I think you should work on. Oh, yeah, you brought up a good point. I completely forgotten about that. Yeah, let's do that instead. But it's just like making it collaborative and just feeling, I feel like giving that checkpoint has been really impactful. But yeah, is that something you'd consider? Or
we do like async standups on Slack for the development. And as we're saying this, I ought to just include the few other people in it too, because that would solve this. And then if there's something that needs further discussion, we can hammer it out over Slack or hop on a quick call. But if I see something in there, kind of what I'm thinking is like, I should know what to expect out of those standups, you know, those responses. And if I see something that's different than what I would expect, then I kind of can pop in and say, hey, what, like, why are you spending this time over here? Like, I think the focus is this thing.
What's so the aversion to making it synchronous?
I mean, part of it is four of our people are in Europe. And so like, that's, you know, by the time I get online, it's 2 or 3 o'clock and their day is mostly done, you know, but I guess it could be for tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like this is an area where I've had literally just a few years ago working as an individual contributor, and for years leading up to that, working as a consultant and everything else, like seeing how it had been done with daily stamps of all of those being async. I would just like, it wasn't like I was trying to be like deceptive, but it was like, okay, like here's what I'm working on. I just write like a sentence out. No blockers, especially on like the marketing side. There's almost never a blocker because unless you as a marketing leader are being really strict on how you define the tasks that they are actually doing. But if it's like a slightly even bigger project, you're not going to hear about blockers, and you're also not going to get enough granularity onto what they're doing that day to like give a ton of feedback. And so that's all I'm saying is I just feel like it mentally feels like, okay, like I can catch things if they come up, but I just think a lot of things won't get caught that way.
Mm,
yeah. And at the end of the day, it's not that, like, pick a time where end of the day for them, you work around it and you try to get a couple of them right together. I think it can be done in a way that's not that big of a distraction to your schedule, but like, I think you would be surprised of just having 15 minutes to be like, hey, like, on support, like we're doing these now where I'm trying to get clear with all my expectations, but it's like, okay, this conversation hasn't been replied to in 24 hours. Why? Like, is there like literally, like, I'm sure it's because there's some like problem you ran into that you're not sure how to handle, but like, okay, so then let's figure out how to handle it so going forward you can fix it. Or maybe it's just you're waiting for the perfect answer when you could just reply to the customer and say, hey, I need to dig into this some more. I'm going to follow up with you tomorrow after I talk with my manager. We're going to get an answer back to you. And that answer at that point then might be, sorry, this is a bug. We don't know. We're not going to fix it right now. But it's like, those are the kind of things like that would never come up in an async, what are you working on kind of a thing.
Yeah. I'll have to think about it some more, but like, it certainly is the thing you could try, right?
Yeah. Sorry for putting you on the spot on this.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I think it's the kind of thing, like, it's a good idea. You could try it. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And yeah, I mean, I think you could be 30 or 45 minutes total for like the whole company.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. Because it's like Jordan and I have been doing it for a while. Jordan's on our marketing team today. 10 minutes. And honestly, the longer the meeting is, it means the worse I did a job of like specking things out on our weekly call. This a little bit longer. But like, if I am clear on the priorities and we both agree on it, those calls shouldn't take that much time. And yeah, we just try to group them together. So fortunately, like on our side, like I do marketing and support. Matt does models and front end. Ben does back end. So we're able to split it up a bit. But I think you can find ways to work with the schedules where it's helpful to them without being like just completely breaking your day either.
Yeah. I got something to consider then. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, hey, yeah. It was fun talking about this. I'll see if we have an episode next week. There might be a little hiatus with the show when the baby comes. Well, there will be. We're just not sure when that will happen, but yeah, at that point, a lot's going to change, and hopefully the work our team's been putting in to just kind of tighten up the ship will pay off. But either way, we'll have a lot to share in the near future on the show. So thanks, everyone, for listening.
Awesome stuff. Bye, everyone.